the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Elaine Burke and Joe Shea with us for the last word on TV and streaming. Joe, despite the very dodgy accents, I became a big fan of Mobland. I'm looking forward to season two, which is due quite soon. But it looks like that season three is going to be without Tom Hardy, who is the star of the show. Can a programme like that go on if you don't have the main central character?
Well, it will have to go on. And part of the problem is that Tom Hardy, he will be in season two, but he won't be in season three, according to reports first carried by a website run by the former main, one of the main reporters on The Hollywood Reporter. And basically what they're saying and what they're alleging is that that Hardy was basically booted off season three. He was told he wouldn't be needed because he was causing so much trouble on set. And one of the reasons he was causing trouble on set, according to this story that was carried on a website called A Puck, was that he felt he was being sort of sidelined, or at least wasn't getting the kind of this, he wasn't being central to the new emerging storylines. And that he had gotten into a lot of arguments on set with Helen Mirren, that there had been friction between himself and the main actors like Pierce Brosnan, and also that he really, really got into massive fights with the main showrunner on the show, who threatened to leave if he didn't leave, basically. So apparently Helen Mirren, who's 80 years of age now, told the producers as well that there was no way she was going to put up with this, and that basically it was like, you know, everybody kind of got together and said, if Tom Hardy stays on Mobland, we won't.
Okay, so they ganged up on him by the sounds of it, Elaine.
Yeah, no, I would say I haven't watched Mobland, but from the marketing, I would have thought that Helen and Pierce were the stars. So it's interesting to hear that it's actually this fixer character of Harry D'Souza. But yeah, I mean, it must be said that this is gossip reporting from unnamed insider info. And also, it just so happens that Tom Hardy had an out in his own contract to leave on season three. He had that as an option. So it could also be that.
Could this all just be very clever marketing to get people to watch season two?
This is how I found out they've even been renewed for a season three, that this news got out there.
Could it be that he complained about the dodgy accents of Helen Mirren and Pierce Brosnan?
Well, I still haven't forgiven Tom Hardy for that weird Bane voice, so he's one to talk if that's the case.
What voice?
In the Dark Knight film.
Yeah.
Or The Dark Knight Rises. Anyway,
Tom Hardy has previous on this, because there was massive friction on the Mad Max movie he did with Charlize Theron, to the point where apparently she refused to be alone with him a bit, not that she was scared of him right like that, but because she found him so annoying and so self-centered, and the fact that he kept showing up late for his work, basically, which is also another allegation about what's been going on with Mobland.
Okay, but he is very talented, he's very watchable.
There's lots of talented people out there.
Okay, all right, okay, that's it. Okay, there's a very interesting one, I think, Joe. The parents of Madeleine McCann are, say, they're disappointed by a new Channel 5 drama. What's involved here?
Yeah, this is, again, this is unusual, because normally you think if you were doing something, you know, a full-on drama documentary about, you know, one of the most notorious cases in recent history, that you would have tried to get some sort of involvement with the main protagonist and the parents of the missing child. But Channel 5 have this new series which is depicting the full story around, as they see it, from the disappearance of Madeleine McCann, and it's called Under Suspicion, Kate McCann, which the title kind of gives it away. It's basically saying that her mother was treated. Now, there were, of course, parts of the investigation where the parents did, and the police later apologised for this, of course, where they did kind of treat the parents as suspects, so to speak. But this drama apparently is very, very weighted on this, and kind of plays very heavily on the fact that, you know, under suspicion, Kate McCann, looking at the disappearance in 2007, and her parents, Kate and Jerry McCann, have absolutely gone ballistic about this, as you might understand. I mean, all of these years later, with the case still open, that Channel 5 just went ahead and commissioned and are making and are now broadcasting this series, which, you know, seems to be very problematical in the editorial decisions it has made.
What do you make of this, Elaine? Is this fair to parents who are still grieving, I'd imagine, the loss of their daughter in these dreadful circumstances.
Yeah, and I think with this story in particular, it seems to be probably one of the most exploited of these kinds that's out there. Like, there's so much material has been produced on the back of this, and I just find that quite unnerving. We've talked on the show before about the true crime genre and how it has, you know, toes that line between nearly being icky in its exploitation of the stories that they dip into. And with the Madeleine McCann stuff in particular, all these years later, it's nearly 20 years now, no new answers really have been uncovered. So you can't really claim that they're investigating or anything like that. They are just constantly returning to this story, and it does feel exploitative.
Okay. We spoke, Elaine, when you were with us for the week trending last Friday, about the major controversy in the UK about Married at First Sight and contestants saying they were raped by their on-screen husbands. Meanwhile, the former boss of Channel 4 and Ofcom, Michael Grade, has warned that reality TV risks sinking into the gutter. Risks? Is that not where it actually lives?
I know, it's like we are already at the point of having a retrospective on the noughties reality TV shows that were really problematic, and say the America's Next Top Model documentary that came out recently and really showcased that. And there's countless of other shows that are reflecting on that period as something that was kind of a nasty one for TV makers and how they exploited people. And I think Michael Grade actually makes a good point here, in that he kind of says if TV producers are looking at a concept for a show and realize that they need to do really high levels of safeguarding and adding all these extra checks and balances, which they absolutely should do if this is something that they're doing, but then have a think about, well, if we have to add all this in, how much of this is entertainment and how much is exploitation? And when it comes to shows like Married at First Sight, I mean, it is essentially, the concept of this show is obliging people to perform sexual intimacy for the reward of TV kudos or time and airtime and stuff like that. That's really, really problematic. And I don't need 20 years from now looking back on that to realise that that's a problem. It's always been quite an icky concept. Love Island is like this as well, with how it kind of stages people into these scenarios and is essentially pressurising to perform these kind of intimate acts with people for a TV career. And I don't think it's going to look well years from now, but it certainly doesn't even look well now. And he does make the good point that we can make good creative reality TV without this, like the concept like The Traitors, which has absolutely blown up, not just in the UK, but around the world. People are really, really fans of this concept as a show. And it doesn't have any of this kind of ickiness really with exploitation. Like, yes, sometimes people will face criticism after the show of how they behaved on it. And that is a problem with social media and stuff like that. But the producers of these shows have to put things in place to protect people against that and safeguard them after the show. And that seems like probably the bar that you should be trying to reach. That's the level of safeguarding that people should need for a show. They shouldn't be thinking of, should we hire intimacy coordinators for reality TV? Like, that's bonkers.
What's your take on this, Joe?
There's increasing kind of desperation on all sides around these kind of shows, because we know that TV production budgets are shrinking. There's these production companies are vying for a smaller piece of the cake all of the time. They have to keep pushing things further and further and further. And then on the other side, you have people who are willing to go further just to get on TV or just to get themselves, you know, a profile on social media. And they're putting themselves into very risky situations in many places, as we can see with Married at First Sight. People in the TV producer, the companies, don't want to know and don't want to hear, which is what we saw with Married at First Sight UK. They ignored all of the flashing warning signs. They ignored evidence. They ignored people who were telling them, you know, that I was basically sexually assaulted. And they still broadcast the show anyway. It can only get worse, because people are going to get more and more desperate to, as I said, to get viewers, to get their shows made. And it's going to a pretty dark place if it's not there already.
What's your pick of the week, Elaine, please?
Mine is Tiptoe, which is a new Channel 4 series from Russell T Davies. He did It's a Sin, which was one of my big watches of the last few years. But he's also famous for having done Queer as Folk back in the 90s, I think Queer as Folk was. Is it that far back?
And
he is returning to the iconic gay scene of Manchester with this show, Tiptoe. And it stars Alan Cumming and David Morrissey, two great actors. It's great to see Alan Cumming get a leading role in the show. And it starts Channel 4 Sunday at 9 p.m. They are two feuding neighbours. Alan runs a bar and David Morrissey, they started this kind of low-key feud, but it simmers and boils up. And Russell T Davies has said he felt like he needed to make a show like this, you know, years, decades after he made Queer as Folk, and that was really kind of revolutionary in how it depicted gay people on screen. And now he's feeling like there's a simmering tension that's rising now that he wants to address with this new show.
What's your pick, Joe?
I'm a huge fan of For All Mankind on Apple TV. Brilliant prestige science fiction, but way more than science fiction. Sort of the counterfactual history of the space race. A lot of what ifs around the Russians and the Americans and the race to the moon and the races to Mars. Star City is starting on Apple TV on Friday. Star City is a spin-off from For All Mankind, which is basically shifts the story again and looks from the Russian perspective at the space race and what might have happened if, you know, the Soviet Union hadn't collapsed and Russia had gone very far into space. It's getting a lot of comparisons tone-wise with Chernobyl, because HBO's Chernobyl, because what it looks at as well is how people involved in science, in trying to do spectacular things or huge things, are kind of trapped in this communist system where it becomes more and more absurd and harder for them to work at it. But I just love For All Mankind. I think Star City, if they put the same amount of resources, talent, the money, how it looks, I think Star City, Apple from Friday, is going to be a fantastic watch.
Okay, I'm going to have to leave it there. Joe Shea, Elaine Burke, thank you so much for being with us.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.